Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by why don't you just say your name and your role with the film?
So my name is Jose Ricardo Garcia. I'm the writer, editor, and director of the ADX2 controversy.
Yes, it's about a 20-minute short documentary, as you said, ADX2 controversy. It's going to be screening September 24th, I believe, at DC Shorts. I know the overall festival runs from September 20th through the 24th, but I guess you're helping close it out on the last day. Where exactly can folks see it? Like, where's the location of the DC Shorts screening?
It's going to be at the Alamo Theater in DC. You can find all the information at the dcshorts.com website. We got our showcase is the local documentary showcase, and it's going to be September 24th at 1:30 p.m. And
Awesome.
actually, tickets just went on sale again today because we were sold out, and they move us to a bigger theater, so they came out today with more
Okay, great.
tickets.
So wait, are there are two screenings, one sold out and then an additional one?
Basically, they had initially put it on sale, and our showcase sold out in like a couple hours. So we were, bothering them, and they got us a bigger theater. It's a brand new complex,
Okay.
but I guess they had a smaller theater, and now they move us to a bigger one so they can
Okay.
accommodate more people.
So it's not sold out yet. They
No,
added more people.
not
Okay.
as right now. It's not sold out. No.
As of now. Well, either way, it's a cool local story to highlight, and I'm excited to tell everybody about it. But we're operating as if everyone knows what it's about, but you and I know. I've watched it, you made it, but let's pretend there's listeners who have no idea what they hear ADX2, they don't even know what it is. Explain the basic premise, what the, battery additives and who invented it. The basic setup here.
Yeah, so this documentary takes place in the late 1940s, early 1950s, when this small entrepreneur came out into the marketplace with this product called ADX2, which was a battery additive. This is post-World War II. There's a lead is scarce. So he saw a big business in prolonging the life of batteries. And this product was tested by the National Bureau of Standards at the time, which is now NIST. And when they did the test, they found that it did nothing. It didn't work. And it became a huge controversy that involved the higher echelons of government and actually got the director of the bureau fired. And he had to fight for the scientific integrity of the agency. And so it's telling that story.
Oh, awesome. And you did a beautiful job teeing it up because you didn't mention the name of this person that was fired, the director of what is now NIST. Tell us what was his name and sort of his connection to his son is a famous actor and grandson, and they're both in the movie.
Yeah, so the director was Alan V. Astin, who is the father of John Astin and Sandy Astin. And then he's the grandfather of Sean Astin or, Samwise Gamgee, like everybody knows.
Or
And they're
Rudy,
both famous.
Rudy. And
Yeah,
of course, or
or
my wife
Raphael.
would say the Goonies.
Yeah, or Raphael for Ninja Turtles or, like Stranger Things, you name it. Yeah, and it was an amazing, amazing experience working with the whole family. They're
How'd you reach
beautiful
out to them?
people.
How'd you reach out to them and say, hey, be in my movie?
Well, no, actually, everything happened organically. So John Astin and his brother Alexander Astin, may he rest in peace, they came to NIST to do a colloquium to talk about from their point of view about this same story. And we were early in the research phases, a phase of the of prepping for this movie, and we interview them. We used that time when they came on campus and we interview them. And Mackenzie Astin, Sean's brother, was here too. And then they told Sean about it, and Sean, couldn't come at that time, so he decided to come later. And we spent a whole day with him with the tours of the campus and went to different labs, and then we interview him, and then we went to dinner, and he loved the premise of the film.
He actually came into WTOP, gosh, a long time ago. I guess he was coming to DC for AwesomeCon, and we got to sit down and talk to him. He was really, really, really cool. So that's so cool that he agreed to
It's
do this.
exactly what you expect. Exactly what you expect, that's him.
Very
You
down to
know.
earth. Very down to earth.
Yep.
Well, very cool. Well, you mentioned some of the one local actor, but we also I recognize another guy, Evan Casey, in the movie.
Yeah, there's three local actors. And yeah, Evan Casey, who plays Alan Astin, Adam Cooley, who plays Jess and Richie, and then Joel Snyder, who plays Senator Sinclair Weeks. They're all local. Those are the three real actors in the movie. The rest are all NIST people, which was really cool.
Oh yeah, Evan. I've followed his work for a long time. He's a cool guy. Well, speaking of actors and or I guess reenactors versus documentary image, interviews. I thought as a director, I wanted to commend you for how you sort of juggled the two of those things, and sometimes the lines are even blurred. Like, I love how you'll have like a scientist and it looks like it's like a B-roll reenactment or something, but then he'll suddenly turn and break the fourth wall and talk to the camera, or he turn and talk to another actor in the same shot to convey some of the information. Tell me about like how you came up with that idea to, maybe think outside the box and kind of do it creatively.
Yeah, actually, I'm a firm believer that limitations are good and they guide creativity. So when we got this story, originally the assignment was to make a 2-minute video to use for the onboarding process, because this is a story that's always told to new employees. And, I didn't know that much about it. And then when I started doing research, I was like, holy crap, this is humongous. This story is huge. And obviously when the Astins got involved, it became bigger. But because the story takes place so long ago, we don't have enough visuals, we don't have enough video.
Right.
And at that point, we had the interviews with the Astin family, and I didn't want it to be Astin-centric and too much one-sided. So I felt it was crucial that the audience will relate to the characters, and I thought the best way to do it was through reenactment, so that way they can really get a sense of who these people were. And the cool thing, one cool thing about it is that all the dialogue that you hear from the three main characters, especially, is exactly word by word what they said. This is not made up. We found interviews that Jess Ritchie did, he told his whole story. So we told the story the way he told it. Every meeting and the obviously the hearings, we had all the transcripts. So everything is word by word what they said. So we were very careful to not change history here.
Very cool. I thought it was the way you did a lot of it was clever. And I even like even some of like the camera moves. Like there's the one where it's like the camera's like on a dolly and it's like tracking to the right, and then it'll go behind, like a kind of like a dip to black, but you can't tell. It's almost like it's going behind a wall, like in the shadows, and then it emerges out, and then we're seeing another character. And it's some cool filmmaker geek out kind of stuff too, in addition to just the documentary story. So speaking of which, yeah, like who was your DP? What camera did you shoot on? Any cool geek out stuff?
Yeah. So we were blessed to work with Chris McGinnis from Pulse Cinema. He's an amazing, amazing director of photography. And we had a great crew. We had Donald Saras, who's like the GOAT. He's working Revenge of the Jedi. He's working with all the biggest filmmakers. So we had a really cool crew, local crew. And then a lot of it was all NIST people. We were blessed with that. And then we shot all on Canon cameras. We shot on the Canon Mark II, the C300 Mark II.
Like DSLRs?
Yeah, and then we shot with the R3. So we shot three cameras. The main camera was the C300 Mark II. And then we had B cameras, and then some shots we did in 6K because I knew I was going to crop them in post. So everything was very, very, very well planned. But it was all Canon cameras. And actually, not all of them, because we had shot already all the interviews ourselves in-house.
Yeah.
And that we shot with the FS7, with the Sony FS7. The interviews.
Awesome. I mean, it looks great. It looks totally legit. You know what I mean? Like I could see it at playing at major film festivals and stuff, in addition to the local film festivals. It's really cool. Well done. Bravo. Tell us a little more of your backstory. Where'd you grow up and what brought you to DC? Was it the job at NIST? Is that what brought you here?
No, actually. So I'm originally born and raised in Puerto Rico. I moved to New York for college when I was 18, and I lived in New York for 11 years. And I was dating my last year. I was dating my now ex-wife, long distance, DC, New York. And then we got pregnant, and that's what brought me down to the area. She worked for the government, and she had a better job than me, about to have a kid. So I was like, that's the right thing to do. So I moved down because of that. I work at Johns Hopkins for a little bit. Then I work for a nonprofit in DC called Apple Tree Institute. And then I found this job at NIST, well, not this job, but the job at the time that I was working with Akeem as an AV tech. But he had in the description, he said that some video editing. And then when I joined NIST, I was like, hey, will you let me do a little bit more? And then we took a couple that worked out, and then immediately they took me out of my job and we started a video department, and we've been making awesome stuff for 10 years now.
Awesome. So when what would your official title at NIST be in the video
department? My official title is script writer director.
Okay.
In the video team. But I think on the official government title, I don't even know what it is.
It doesn't matter. But I guess my point is the ADX2 controversy is, it's not just some, a independent film that you got a bunch of crew together and made. It's one of several films you're making for NIST. Is that right?
Oh, we've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stuff, but obviously our job as the video team is to translate complex science into layman terms so we can inform the nation the work that we do at NIST, all the cool scientific research and inventions that we do. So that's our job. We got blessed with this opportunity because we had done other documentaries that had done very well in festivals and won awards and stuff. And they let us do something. This was a lot of work. And it's obviously the biggest thing we've done. But all our videos, every single thing we do, we approach it the same way. We aim to be as creative as possible, So we always think outside the box with the stuff that we do. But I'm very grateful that we had the opportunity. I never thought in a million years that in the federal government I would be doing this, So it's really pretty cool.
It's very, very cool. Well, shout out again to Akeem Henry, our good friend who was at NIST and former of WTOP as well. That's how I met him. And then you met him at NIST, and now he's doing great things down at the Pentagon. So, great. I guess sort of in closing, like we've talked and geeked out about like the filmmaking techniques and all that, but like, let's take it one step back to close it out here of like the big picture stuff, the big picture themes and the takeaways when audiences come to DC Shorts and see this that you want them to take away. Sort of the theme of scientific integrity where, we can't compromise science for, profit or market forces or whatever. There's a couple quotes about that in the movie. What's the thematic takeaway you want folks to have?
Yeah, I think like you mentioned, obviously scientific integrity is the main theme of the movie, but it's also that there's a difference between opinions and facts. Just because you think something works, it doesn't mean that it works. And in science, we have the scientific method that obviously science is always evolving, but at least it's the best way I think we have right now to find truth. If you set up the right experiment with a variable and a constant and then somebody else can duplicate the same experiment and reach the same results, now you have a fact. Now you have truth. And it's important that as a society, we keep that in mind when we make decisions, it's just because somebody can sell something in a way that sounds great doesn't mean it's true. So we need to look, further. And when it comes to science, NIST has been standing for scientific integrity for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. We're non-regulatory. We don't tell people what to do. We do great work for the economy of the United States and all the work that we do, like when you go to the grocery store, when you put gas in your tank, when you look at your watch, your cell phone, the reason you have the right time and the right measurements is thanks for the behind the scenes work that NIST scientists do. So, my job as a filmmaker at NIST is to bring that science to the masses. And I believe that filmmaking is the best medium to do that. Mm-hmm. Because it's an emotional medium. And if you can get people to have an emotional reaction, then they will be like, I want to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. So then they can go to NIST.gov and find more about the stuff we do. Versus just putting it there and hoping somebody goes. If you reach out to people in a way that they can feel it, then they will be more incentivized to do something about it. So that's why. Yeah.
I agree entirely, but I'm biased on that subject about film being the best medium. Well, to me, because it combines all of the other mediums. I mean? It's photography, theater, arts, music, literature, all of it, all of it together. And yes, there is a lot of crappy movies made too. But like when it's done well, I think it elevates and transcends to the best art form. But you and I are again biased on that. But hey, sure. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. Again, it's called The ADX2 Controversy, the short documentary. It's going to be at DC Shorts on September 24th, screening at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, the Bryant Street location. Where is that? Rhode Island Avenue Northeast, I think. So go, everybody, check it out. And then also, you know, and then check out all the other great stuff at DC Shorts from, yeah. I guess, the 20th through the 24th.
Our short is as other is 7 local documentaries, so it's pretty cool. You know, come support the community and other filmmakers from the area. It's gonna be fun, and there's a lot. I mean, what I've seen so far from the movies are gonna be there. There's a lot of good content, so I'm excited to see everybody's work.
Awesome, Jose Ricardo Garcia. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.